Well, good morning, everyone. If you'd like, we're studying in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. And in verse 10, the Hebrew writer made a very difficult comment when he talked about Jesus as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, you stop and think about that. It's going to require a little bit of spiritual maturity to come to the understanding of what the Hebrew writer is talking about when he speaks about Jesus of Nazareth and the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. But the Hebrew writer, he wanted them to know about this. It was important in the argument he was making. But in the text there, in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verses 11 through 14, they had become hard of hearing or dull of hearing and needed once again the first principles of the oracles of God because they were babes in Christ Jesus. If you were with us last week, you may recall from verse 14 that we were talking about this topic where the Hebrew writer said, solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. These individuals were people that simply were not as mature as they should have been. They weren't perfected. They weren't of full age. And the Hebrew writer wants Christians to be perfected, to be mature, to be full age type of Christians. And so today's lesson is part two. Part two for what we were talking about last Sunday morning in the first sermon, looking at various things that are going to help us become mature or of full age or perfected in a spiritual sense. And so as we think about these particular things, it's vital to our spiritual growth. We're on a journey. The Hebrew writer wanted them to take that particular journey, to run with that journey, and be the type of Christians that they ought to be. The key word in there, as I focused last week, was discern. To discern both good and evil. That word in the Greek means the concept of to judge or to distinguish from that which is good, better, or best. I think last week I defined it as correct and more correct. Well, there comes things that we understand that there's good things and yet there's better things and even better things than that. We would call them the best type of things. We need to make the best judgments. We need to form the best opinions. Spiritually mature, those of full-age Christians, that's what they do. And so I decided to break up this lesson into two parts, giving us 10 different concepts that will help us arrive to that point of full age as we journey through this life. Last Sunday morning, you may recall, here's the five that I talked about. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, using that very expression itself and talking about what's involved in us exercising or training ourselves to discern between good and evil, and that we had to work beyond the basic principles. And even in those principles, we know that some of the things are kind of difficult, like the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. There's some difficult things in there, but we need to work beyond those. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, when we're babes in Christ, we could fall prey very easily to deceiving or twisting devilish doctrines. And so mature or full age or perfected Christians, they're not deceived by the false teachings that are out there. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 13, two different passages from that particular letter of our need to strive against the filthiness of the flesh. And then there at the end of that chapter, or the end of that letter, talks about us having that type of nature and character of peace and wisdom that we so often find in those would be patriarchs or matriarchs of our family. Thinking about the old southern gentleman out there rocking in his rocking chair on the porch, inviting you to come in and listen to his wisdom. That's where we really need to end up. But that seemed like an appropriate place to stop last week. Here's number 6 out of the 10 as we continue to run down this road that's going to help us mature or to become a full age or to be perfected, striving for perfection, Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 21. Here's an easy one, right? Let's read this together, how easy this must be. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, Jesus said to this young rich ruler and whom he loved, he said, if you want to be perfect, and that's the idea, if you want to be mature, if you want to be a full age, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Yeah, something easy, right? The idea of maturing is not always easy. As a matter of fact, it's quite difficult. Quite difficult to become perfected or mature or of full age. He tells this young man a very important principle. And the principle is simply this. We must be willing to do everything Jesus asked. It's just that simple. We must be willing to do everything simply because. We don't really need to even know why. Jesus didn't give him the reason why he needed to go sell everything. Have you ever noticed that as you read that? He didn't say, well, you need to go sell everything because this will happen in your life, and that's going to be used for this, and it's going to go for here. And he didn't appeal to his logic, did he? He just said, go sell whatever you have, and then come follow me. We just simply need to be obedient in everything that Jesus asks. And until you develop that mentality, until you reach this point where you're willing to say, I'm going to obey just because, you're never going to mature in Christ Jesus. You're never going to become a full age. You're never going to get perfected. You have to arrive at this point in order to get to that place. Because if we don't, I guarantee you the devil is going to use something, some person, some place where he knows your weakness is, and he's going to use that as a wedge issue to destroy you, to place something between you and God. Now, some people have defined that as covetousness. Whenever you place something, some person, some place above a command that God has given us, we have elevated that to God status. That's become our God. Some call it the golden calf, our sacred idol. Well, that's what this man had. He had a golden calf and a sacred idol, and Jesus was just testing. Well, let's just see how mature you are. If you want to be mature, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be full age, I know what's in between you and me. It's your stuff. I know what's there. Go sell it all. Come follow me. He didn't sell it all. He wouldn't follow him. In Luke chapter 14, Luke the 14th chapter, I think this kind of rides upon this same concept. In Luke chapter 14 and in verse 25, great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them. Now, I'm telling you, this is not anything Joel Osteen would ever tell an audience that he's standing before. But the Son of God did, didn't he? The Son of God said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't know which one of those will be more difficult for you. The idea of me bearing a cross like the Son of God bore his cross to Golgotha, that does not appeal to me at all. Not at all. But the Lord told me I've got to bear my cross. And whatever you want to conclude might be that cross, it's not a pretty picture. It's not anything anybody wants to do. And you might say, well, I could bear that cross easier than I could do verse 26. Well, that might be true. That the idea that Jesus has to come before your parents, has to come before your spouse, has to come before your children or your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, before your own life. You've got to be willing to have Jesus first. If we're going to be full age, mature, and perfected, if we're going to arrive to that age of full age in a spiritual sense, we have to, as I have there listed on the chart, you have to have a willingness to sacrifice it all. All of it. And until you arrive to that point, we're not going to be people that are going to be spiritually mature. We're going to fail the test. We're going to give in, and many people give up because they refuse to follow this command. It's a hard one, extremely hard. It is a test of our love and our devotion unto God. It is a test of whether or not we really see Him as the potter and we're just merely crumbling clay. It is a test, isn't it? So there's point number six. You say, can it get more difficult than that? Well, I don't know, maybe. I don't know if I'm taking it in that type of approach. But this is something I think that we're going to have to do if we're going to become people that are full age, perfected, or mature in the faith. In James chapter 3, Really, you can read verses 1 through 12. Time does not permit us to do that. But there in verse 2, James says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue, it's a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest fire, a little fire kindles." We have to be men and women that are going to be looking there in verse 2 to be perfect men, perfect women, bridling the body. And bridling the body starts with the tongue. Got to get that tongue under some element of control. Now, James talks about you can't tame the thing. The thing, it's like a deadly poison, full of evil. James, I think he's exaggerating a bit, maybe not much, but he's exaggerating a little bit to try to point out the dangers of our tongues, what's coming out of our mouth. Jesus talked about the things that come out of our mouth, they defile men and women. They expose who we are on the inside. They come from the heart. They tell men and women about our hearts. And that's where spiritual maturity takes place. It takes place in the core of our character and our conduct, and it's witnessed very quickly by what's coming out of our mouths. We've got to get in control of our tongue. And yet, incessantly, we see within society, and sometimes we see within congregations, gossip and whispering and backbiting and slander and hate. Violence felt within words. It ought not be that way. And those who are mature in Christ Jesus do their level best not to go in that direction. We need to become perfect. A perfect man, a perfect woman, perfect in the sense of biblical perfection, full age, spiritual maturity. And we do that by controlling the tongue to the best of our ability. We look there in James chapter 1, verse 19, 20. Such practical exhortations to encourage us how to develop that type of control of ourselves. Verse 19, "So then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, he's not talking about being slow to speak in preaching the gospel. I'm glad for that. I try to get in as many words as I can. He's talking about the idea of when we're having conversations with people, when we're talking with people, and just practical everyday experiences, we need to be the type of people that are mature enough to let people finish their sentences, to let people say what's on their mind, to hear what they're actually saying instead of just assuming that what they're saying is in a particular direction. I find myself getting in trouble like that often. That I just based upon the particular circumstance or the person that I'm hearing or all these things together, I'm assuming what they're saying is one thing when actually what's in their heart is a different thing. And we find ourselves getting in a lot of communication trouble when we do that. Be very swift to hear. Try to hear it correctly. And be slow in your response. I tell you, when I decided to become a gospel preacher, I went out on a wife hunt. That's just what I did. When it's time to train to preach, and I just was out looking for a wife. I just was. And one of the things that appealed to me so quickly about Sandra was that measuredness within her. That I just saw a young lady that before she spoke, she thought about what she was about to say before she said it. And that just endeared her to me very quickly. And I've appreciated that out of her ever since. I think she applies that so well. We need to apply this concept of thinking before we talk and making sure that our words are in control. If we're going to be full age or mature Christians, we need to be that way. Let's go on. James has more to say concerning this idea of developing ourselves in full age. James chapter 1 and in verse 4. "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Do you think James is talking about being full age here? Let patience have its perfect work, that we can be complete, that we can be perfect. These are the points I've been drumming over and over again. The Bible teaches us as Christians we're supposed to be perfect people. Not perfect in the way the world or Webster might define it, but we need to be perfect in the sense in which the New Testament speaks about it, being a full age, being mature men and women. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be perfect, and patience is required. And I put up all three words that usually go around the concept of patience. Patience, endurance, perseverance. I want us to be thinking about all three of those concepts. Being a patient people. Being a people that endure. Being a people that persevere. All of that requires the patience that James is trying to drive us at. I'll give you a good example of this. Go back to a parable that you know very well. Go back to the parable of the sower. Look with me in Matthew's account. Now, Matthew talks about it, Mark talks about it, Luke talks about it. I really like the way Matthew sums up the idea of the good ground. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 23, we know how the parable is. The seed is sown. A lot of the ground types don't do very well with it, but there is good ground that does very well with it. And so he begins to tell us about the Word of God being sown in the hearts of men and women. And a lot of men and women's hearts don't do very well with it, but good ground does well with the Word of God sown in their heart. And here's the explanation. The Son of God says in verse 23, "He who has received seed on good ground is he who hears the Word and understands it." There's the concept of discerning. Remember, we talked about those who are full age, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you hear the word discern, think the word understand, or judge, or distinguish. They have a good understanding. The good ground, those who hear the Word of God, and they're discerning it properly. They're handling the Word of God correctly and accurately. Who indeed bear fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. You're saying, I don't catch this with this point. Well, I've done most of my preaching in Indiana. And Indiana's state theme used to be, "There's more than corn in Indiana." That's how they used to go around. You think, you go to Indiana, that's what you see, corn everywhere. They plant the corn. I know they are itching to get in the fields right now. Usually by now they've got the fields disc up. I think tomorrow they're supposed to get 2 inches of snow. You can see why I got out of there. Well, anyway, they got to plant the seed. You know, the seed's got to be planted. The seed's got to come up. The spring rains have to come down. They're hoping that they get good summer rain at proper intervals so that the corn can grow up nice and tall. It tassels out well. It goes through the pollination process. It puts on the ears of corn. And the ears of corn, they have to develop, they have to grow, and they have to ripen. It takes a while. It takes a while to accomplish this. Usually they want to start in April and they're harvesting in October. It takes about a half a year or so to get the job done. And that's what the Son of God is talking about here. It takes a while. If we're going to spiritually mature, we can't just instantly think it's going to happen now. We live in a society that's, I think there's some truth to that. When I was a boy, I was taught by my mom and dad, was the idea of, you know, you grow up, you work hard, you become successful, and as time goes on, you accumulate a variety of things, and then you get into your seasoned years of life, and you end up being materially successful. And we live in a generation now, it's like, okay, I'm out of college, where's all my money? You know, where's my house, where's my car, where's my boat, where's my this, where's my that? As a matter of fact, I should have it while I'm in college. Patience. If we're going to be full-age men and women, it takes time to get there. It takes time to develop the crop, to produce the crop, to harvest the crop. We're not going to be spiritually mature overnight. It's going to take some real hard work, dedication, efforts, and we'll get there if we are people that are patient and endure and persevere the drought and the storms of this life. That's why I like that particular passage so well. Let's go on to the next. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Let's talk about some more easy things to do in order to become spiritually mature. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, what was this conclusion based on? This conclusion was based on, hey, you know, you've heard about hating your enemies. That's not true. I'm telling you, you need to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be perfect. Now, that's not what he says, but that's what he says. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Your heavenly Father's perfect. You know what he does? He sends down the sun on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain down on the just and the unjust. For what big credit is it if you love those that love you? You know? Here's the big thing when you love the tax collectors and the heathens that are around you. When you pray for them. When you're willing to do something good for them. That is when you're like your Father in heaven. It's so hard. We don't want our enemies to succeed. I just deep down within my flesh, I don't. I guess I'm a relative of Jonah. Aren't you? I mean, we want to be like Jonah. God told Jonah, hey, Jonah, go over there to Nineveh and tell them that they're going to be overthrown. And Jonah's like, oh, no, I got to go over there and preach to them. They'll probably repent and they'll probably ask for God's mercy and God will bless them. And they're our enemies and they'll come and they'll wipe us out. I don't want them to succeed. I want them to be destroyed. And so he goes off to Tarshish, Spain. That's where he goes. I guess our gut is we don't want our enemies to succeed. Seems to be the nature of the flesh. Our God says, that's not who you are anymore. You're the type of people that you love the unjust and you love the sinner. You pray for them. You try to do good for them. And you know, stop and think about that. When is the last time that you've done that? Or have you ever done that? Have you ever taken it upon, here's this one person at work. I don't like that person. This person's an issue and a problem. When is the time that you've gone to that person at work or that person in the family or that person in the neighborhood and you have purposely decided, I'm going to do something really nice for that person just because I'm a Christian? When's the last time you've tried to do something like that? Just stop and think about it. You know, that's what mature Christians do. They do things like that. And they understand why they do that. And they understand that sometimes amazing things happen because they actually went out on the limb to do something nice, kind, good, and loving towards someone that they would consider their enemy. It's something for us to think about. Those who are full age, loving people that despise us. Let's put that into practice and see if it changes our life some. And then Luke chapter 6. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Jesus is basically talking about a lot of Sermon on the Mount principles and how good they are. And they're kind of jumbled up in this section, but the same type of principles he's talking about. And makes this interesting observation within the midst of them in verse 40 of Luke chapter 6. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Perfectly trained. And that's really, that gets us back to the text of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. They have their senses exercised, or as I talked about last week, trained to discern both good and evil. Our senses exercised. We are trained. We put ourselves to work. And how do we do that? We put ourselves to walking and talking like our Master. Walking in the footsteps of our Master. How did he walk? How did he live? I'm going to live like that. What type of things was he talking about? That's what I'm going to be talking about. If we want to develop, if we want to mature in Christ Jesus, if we want to become full-age men and women in a spiritual sense, we need to be more like the Master. Isn't there a song like that that we sing from time to time? More like the Master I would ever be. We need to be more like the Master. We need to, that name that is given there. And the disciples, the followers, were first called Christians in Antioch. The followers were first called like their master, Christ. They're in his likeness. The people of that day and age saw, hey, there's one of those Jesus believers. He's talking about Jesus. He's acting like Jesus. He's speaking like Jesus. He's exercising Jesus. He's wearing the name Christ. We need to be that kind of people. We sing that song again. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. This world's not our home because we're servants of the Master. And this world was not his home either. He came so that we could go to a better home, didn't he? He came to offer us room in his Father's house and thus forever be with the Lord. We need to be the type of people that's, look at these ten. If we really exercise ourselves to understanding these verses of Scripture, making application in our lives, can we get from here to there? Can we get to that point of perfection biblically? Yes, we can. We can become mature. We can be men and women of full age. We need to grow and develop. And just like it is in October with all the combines going through the fields in Indiana, there will be a harvested crop, a mature crop, a lovely crop, because we're bearing fruits for our Master and our Lord Jesus Christ. Would someone here like to begin that journey this morning? Or do you want to return to that journey? Maybe you've been living outside of the sphere of Jesus Christ, and you look at these things and say, hey, I want to get back in. I want to start again, start afresh. Repentance. Maybe you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's someone that would like to do that, why not come forward? Let's take care of your spiritual need as Chris leads us together in this song.